Today, I'm not necessarily looking to be that profound. I want to share with you some things about prayer. And of course, prayer is one of those things that all Christians do. We train our children from a very early age to pray. This becomes part of who we are and what we do as believers in Jesus Christ. Prayer is very simply defined as talking to God. And too often for us, we find it much easier to be doing the talking part of it than the listening. Because in listening to God, we don't know whether or not he's going to give us some specific word from Scripture. Or whether he's going to use some brother or sister in Christ to give us a word of encouragement. Or whether he is somehow going to move that it seems to radically change our circumstances. And sometimes we even wonder if he wouldn't give a very specific answer to a very specific situation. But within this, we all seem to struggle with prayer to some degree or another. It's one of those things that regardless of how much we do, there always seems to be room for the need for a little bit more. So today I want us to consider what you say when you pray. Please turn your attention to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll be reading there at verses 13 and 14. What's in a name? And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. We all have been trained to add on as kind of the exclamation point to our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. But this is not some type of magical formula that if we add this on to the end of a prayer, then it guarantees it's going to get results. And we kind of need to consider what exactly is this to say in Jesus' name. Let's take a little bit of time to consider the context of this passage in which Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples. They're soon going to have to deal with the harsh reality of his departure from this earthly life. And within this, Jesus is trying to assure his disciples that in no way is his ministry going to be diminished because he's not here anymore. Jesus is wanting to give his disciples confidence that the union that they have with him is going to remain unchanged. And so that this union is going to carry forward even after he is physically gone. Now within this unity then is very important because Jesus not only had that unity with his disciples, it is the same unity he has with us. And so that we know as we look at this, to ask for anything in Jesus' name goes beyond the request. And it deals specifically with that union that we have with Jesus. It's within this union that we are drawing upon that we can get answers to our prayers. Now to ask of what we would ask for, we need to understand what it is saying. Let's begin by what it is not. To pray in Jesus' name does not mean that Jesus has a blank check ready to give to you whatever you want because you use his name. The idea of his name is to take everything that he is, all of his character, and bring that to play of saying that it is a prayer in his name. Well, it certainly makes sense that to pray in Jesus' name is to ask those things that Jesus would ask. It's to pray about those things you know that someone named Jesus would ask. That it would be something he would pray for. And we know that Jesus was all about praying for the furtherance of God's kingdom on earth. We know that Jesus would pray for the glory of God, whether it was to himself or upon the Father. So it should become real clear to us that to pray in Jesus' name is to pray according to those things that would fit Jesus' ministry, that would fit his character, that would be for his glory. For to ask for those things that would be fitting with his ministry, that would bring glory to his name, would be praying according to his name. Turn over a page, chapter 15, verse 16. Or if it's on the same page, don't turn it, just stay right there. Chapter 15 and verse 16. We have, "You do not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." To ask according to Jesus' name is to understand that these things have been appointed by him and not by you or me. Jesus chose us. He brought us into his program. We didn't come up with a program and ask him to come and be a part of it. It's simple that we can see here that what Jesus has done is what united us with him. It was his action. It was his death. It was his work on our behalf. It wasn't anything that we have done. So within this, we can see that the purpose that we have been united with Christ is for spiritual fruit. A subject that we talk a lot about. And no spiritual fruit is going to be accomplished apart from him. It's that union, being united with Christ, that is going to bring us this. So to ask for anything in God's name then is going to be for the purpose of the production of spiritual fruit. Obviously, if there's going to be the production of spiritual fruit, it presupposes a submission on our part to God, because apart from that, how in the world are we going to be in use with him within this union we have with Christ? Turn over another page, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And we'll say, hold on one second here. Those numbers get so small. The letters are big, but the numbers are small. "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." We see here that this is a little bit unique. It's coming along. Everybody prior to this time always prayed to God the Father. except they didn't call him God the Father. They didn't really understand the Father, Son, Holy Spirit relationship. And so it was just God the Father. Now Jesus comes along and he says to pray to God the Father or to God the Son is one and the same thing. It matters zero. It's the same to pray to God the Father, to pray to God the Son. To pray in either one's name is basically accomplishing the same thing. And he emphasizes that by saying, if you ask for anything in my name, which we understand is not to say the name Jesus, it's to do it in the character, within the ministry, for the glory of Christ. If you ask anything in his name, God will give it to you. It's interesting to see the result here. The purpose for prayer, for God to be able to work through our prayers, give us an answer, is for joy. Anybody have an answered prayer this week? Okay, great. How'd that make you feel? Okay, rejoicing. You're joyous. You're happy. It's like this divine self-confidence that God builds into your life. It's welling up inside you, this heavenly happiness, because you know that you have seen God's hand work. It's within that picture that we can see that God is eager for us to realize that it's not in the words in Jesus' name. It's beyond the request. It's about the person. But the one thing, the key thing about prayer is that it allows you to see God's presence. I wear these from time to time when I really am needing to read something and I really can't see it. And so I will put them on, but you know, to wear them all the time, I've got to scoot them down my nose so that when I look at you, you're clear. Because none of you guys want to look foggy. You really don't. Clear is better than fuzzy. And to avoid that fuzziness, I've got to have the glasses out of the way when I look at a distance. But if I'm looking at something really close, I need these glasses. That's a lot like it is with prayer. Without our spiritual glasses, we can see life and we can see how it works. We go to work, we get a paycheck, we pay for stuff, we get hungry, we go get something to eat, we get tired, we lay down and rest. That's life. We can see that. But if we want to see the hand of God, it requires glasses. It requires spiritual glasses. And those spiritual glasses that God is asking us to put on is prayer. It is through prayer we can see God. That, my friends, is the greatest benefit of prayer that he's given us. Prayer is our spiritual glasses. Number two, getting inside will. Turn, if you will, over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. You know, we understand that to pray in the name of Jesus is going to be really, really similar to praying according to his will. Because to pray in his name isn't to just simply say the name of Jesus, but it's to pray in accordance with his character, with his mission, with his ministry, for his glory. Well, to pray according to his will is going to be all of that exact same stuff. So we can see that to pray according to his name and to pray according to his will are really closely related. As we're looking at this, then, what God wants us to understand about prayer is that sometimes I feel that we sometimes struggle with whether or not prayer is simply trying to overcome the resistance of God to give us what we want. We need to understand prayer is the means of laying a hold of God's willingness to give us what is good. We recently went through the book of Ephesians, and numerous times going through the book of Ephesians, I referred to one verse continuously. You should have it memorized, Ephesians 1:3, in which we have received in Christ every spiritual blessing. We have them all. They're set aside for us. Any spiritual need we have in life, already there. So it isn't that we need to ask God to get them. It's we need to ask God to access them, that they're operative in our life. As we think about this getting operative in our life, we come to understand that it's not trying to appeal to God to give us what we need. He's already willed it, that those things we really need, He is going to give us in His way and in His time. That would kind of ask us to stop and ask the question, if God is going to give this to us anyway, then why do we need to ask? We see those situations in life all the time. That, sure, parents want to do good things for their kids, but they want the children to learn to ask. God has ordained the end of those good things He's going to give us. But He's also ordained the means, which is to ask for it. In other words, prayer is that vehicle God has chosen to give us so that through prayer we can receive the things He's intended to give us. It is this connection that we need to grab a hold of as we look at prayer so that we can make sense of prayer. As we consider prayer and the need that we have of knowing what to ask for, we know that it is important for us to understand that Jesus wants to give us those things that are good. Flip back a few pages, James chapter 4 and verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Well, that's not the most encouraging verse in the world, but suddenly we can see here that if we are not asking according to His will, what is going to be the result? Well, essentially, we are telling God, this is what I want, and if you don't give it to me, I'm going to be mad at you. How many of us have been discouraged at one point or another in our Christian life because we've asked God for something and we don't seem to get an answer? Because somewhere in that, we failed to ask according to His will. So, you know, it is God's will for us that prayer is something that we do. And as we do, it needs to be according to his name and according to his will. Number three, already with us. A habit has formed amongst the Christian community. Well-intentioned as it is, that I think confuses a lot of people. We will pray, God be with. God be with Jim. He's going to have surgery. God be with. Okay, who's a name that isn't here? Ed. Ed, be with God as he searches for a job. Be with Jill as she tries to figure out what school she wants to go with. And it's with the best intentions that we pray, God be with. That is confusing. Is there anyone here that doesn't understand the omnipresence of God? In other words, he's God and he's like everywhere all at the same time. It means that his whole creation is immediately in front of him at all times. We see the promises of this. Jesus in Matthew 28:20, he said, surely I will be with you always. Excuse me. As we come to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit being given to every single believer that is going to be with them forever. So even though we don't specifically have the mention of God indwelling our presence, we understand God the Father, it's like we are in front of him all the time. God the Son has come to reside with us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. God is with us. And I understand the meaning of the prayer. I understand when we say, God be with, we're asking for him to evidence himself, to show himself in a particular situation. Well, if that's really what we want to say, then why not say that? Because it's not going to be confusing. Lord, may we be aware of your presence in this situation, knowing that it is going to work according to your will. Because I'm not sure that we understand what it is we're confusing people with. As soon as we pray for somebody, God be with, have we not set ourselves up as some type of dispenser of the presence of God? Oh, well, let me pray for you. God be with you. And some way or another, then, I become the dispenser of God. Wow. So, it's a habit. I know. I'm trying to break myself of it. Don't beat yourself up. If you're praying along and you're saying, oh God, be with Uncle Harry as he goes in for his knee surgery. Right? Don't stop there, okay, so that you aren't confusing. That we would be aware of your presence, that we would be aware of your work in a life. It's one of those things that I guess what I'm trying to do is improve our prayer life on how we choose to say what we say so that we aren't going to confuse anybody else. We are not the dispensers of God. Okay, so as we are aware of his presence, that God is with us, it should give us confidence. Within that confidence, we should be able to walk and live in a way that is going to be better. And of course, within this, we know we have a hard habit to break. So please don't feel like you're being camped upon if you pray God be with. Just understand, you may be confusing the person you're praying for by making yourself sound like the dispenser of God's presence. How much better it is for us to sound like we're trying to align ourselves with God rather than we're trying to get God to align himself with us. So to pray in the name of Jesus is about an attitude. It's not about the words. It is certainly right and fitting to say at the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. As long as we understand we don't do it for the sake of repetition, but we do it from a position of reverence. That for us to invoke the very name of Jesus, it is taking into consideration of who he is and what he has already done. That gives us the confidence, the faith to continue in who he is. To pray according to his will is not a whole lot different than that. That we need to be submissive to Christ and we need to live in that means so that as we approach God in prayer, it is one in which we understand we're trying to align ourselves with him, not the other way around. As we look at bringing our thoughts, our prayers in alignment with God, we do want to live the life that God wants us to live. Not out of compulsion, but one that is seeking joy. One that is finding itself that in prayer we can see the hand of God move. That brings tremendous rejoicing. I just give you three quick things here on a way of trying to perhaps bring things about prayer home with you that maybe you can put into practice. Number one, check your attitude. Prayer is one of those things that is natural for us as Christians, and it's important for us as Christians. We need to approach God with respect for his name and his will. We need to try and honor him in everything we do, that what we are seeking is not our will done in heaven, but his will done on earth. It's all about attitude. If we have the right attitude, then we will certainly be the ready vessel to be filled with God in his goodness. Number two, practice, practice, practice. Anything that we want to improve requires practice. And prayer is no different. So I would say that when you are alone, you have the opportunity of working on your prayer in which you are trying to communicate with God and you're concentrating that you're trying to get involved in the character of God, his ministry, his glory. And then you know you're going to be praying according to his will and you will receive what you have asked for. It is within this then that we've got prayer groups that are wanting to be together here at the church. And, you know, I'm sure that there'll be numerous ones of those because we can't all get together at the same time. But as we do, there's real benefit in getting together with one another to pray. As we practice, we can learn from others. We can see how that the presence of God is invoked through our words. And as we seek to do this, we know that praying with others will expand our own spiritual horizons, that we will be encouraged, and that we will develop a prayer for ourselves that will enhance our ability to see the presence of God in our own lives. Number three, it's the heart of the matter. Refer you to verse Romans 8:26. Talks about how that the Spirit of God works for us in that while we may not know what to say, the Spirit does, and he's communicating this directly to Christ. It's much like this, that if you're putting a prayer together for God and you're speaking it out, you know, it's being dictated, it's being put down on paper, and you know that you did your best, but that's kind of a C+. And you pass it off, and the Holy Spirit takes it, and he's going to run it up to Jesus. Well, between when you hand it to him and by the time the Holy Spirit gets to Jesus, it's being delivered to Jesus as an A+ paper. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then Jesus hands his doctoral thesis back to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings it back to you. But when you sit down to read it, it does not look like some academic exercise. But it just looks like something simple that you have written. This is the guarantee that the Holy Spirit gives us. That as we are looking at prayer, it's not about our words. It's not so much about our words as it is the attitude of our heart. Whether we say in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of a prayer or don't, it doesn't matter. What is the attitude of your heart? As we think about the attitude of our heart, are we submissive? Are we willing to take on, surrender ourselves under his design, his will, rather than seek our own? And if we do, we are going to be a spiritually happy bunch as we experience joy unfathomable, because we will be a blessing to ourselves and everyone around us, recognizing the need, joy, and glory for what we say when we pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us prayer. And it becomes the means to the end of you providing in your will those things you desire for us to have. It helps us see you in our life. It helps us not be so distracted with everything that goes on in this physical world that we totally miss the more important what's going on in the spiritual world. Lord, help us that we may speak well, knowing that we've got a guarantee the Holy Spirit's going to make it perfect. May our hearts be in tune with you and what we say when we pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us as we prepare for communion. In Christ's name, amen.